You just explain what it is about, what your subject is about, what it does, or what is its purposes and all that kind of stuff. And when an analysis paper, that comes to what are its good qualities, what are its bad qualities, and all that.
Yeah, an analysis paper, you're also analyzing something, and when you're, I think it was an explanatory, yeah, the other, an explanatory, you're sort of explaining how something works or what it is, but when you're analyzing, you're not necessarily explaining it's kind of like you're studying it compared to, explaining what it is when you're analyzing.
Right. The root of those words will give you a very good starting off point for describing the difference. One is to describe, if I ask you to describe your, in fact, let's do this real quick. I want you to, either on the text chat and also come to the Talk Now button, I want you to describe your father or father figure for me. You got 30 seconds.
Did you say in the text chat?
Talk Now or text chat, somebody. Hit it. Describe your father or father figure for me.
Okay, my father is tall. He has bald head. He's 52 years old. He has gray hair, and he's a teacher. He does a whole lot of stuff. He likes wearing shirts with these little collars on them, the little priestly collars, but they can't be white because he doesn't want to look like a Catholic priest. He wears African clothes a lot, and he's 62 years old, I think I said that already. He's very, headstrong, very opinionated, and also very loving, and, he tries to be inspiring to his students. I think that's 30 seconds.
Alrighty, we've gotten some descriptions, alright. Time up for descriptions, whatever you got, put them in the text chat. Because now it's time for some analysis. Ooh, analysis. Give me a 30 seconds, 60 at the most, analysis of your dad. Or your father figure. Father or your father figure. I'm not quite clear on the difference. Well, that's why I'm doing it. The difference between analyze and describe. Look up the word analyze, please, if you have trouble with the difference. Look up the word analyze versus describe. Okay, look up the root word, and then quickly give me an analysis of your dad. All right, great. Are you done with your analysis? Do you need any more time? I have responses so far from Ife and Akanke and Akila and Nile. I'll give you a little more time. You got it. And for those of you who think you finished, just add some more things. This is an analysis of your father or father figure. All right, folks. Time up. What did you discover between for this exercise of the difference between analysis and description? What did you discover?
I think analysis is a little bit more detailed as far as just describing, I guess.
I don't know. In terms of detail, you can really get very detailed in your description. You really can get detailed in your description. So I wouldn't agree with that analysis is necessarily more detailed. Can be, but not necessarily. All right? I mean, you of all people can get real detailed in your description. I mean, if I really ask you to really get into detail describing somebody, give me a break. You write pages on their fingernail. All right. And do a great job at it. All right. So, nope, I don't think detail is the main one. Let's go. Other differences, something you discovered.
One story that I made was that was describing you can get into detail about the way something like physically looks, and it visually describing what it is. And with analyzing, you can when you're talking about a certain thing, you can break it down into sections. So you're not necessarily talk about what it looks like, but you'll talk about certain things about the topic. So you'll break it down into sections about certain things about it, but not necessarily the appearance of it.
Yeah, I think it can also be the appearance of it. You know, you can talk visually as well. I think the main thing with analysis is, like you said, Nasha, breaking it up into parts and connecting them. And for me, like personally, what I've come to understand about analysis in my own kind of personal definition is basically relating one thing to another and sort of making sense of it, particularly if you're coming from a certain place. So if you're analyzing it from an African psychological standpoint, you know what I mean? Then your analysis will be different if you're analyzing it from another point of view. And then also, like, I find that it answers questions. So breaking down the connection between, okay, that's why I was saying, okay, my dad likes mac and cheese. Well, the way that he likes his mac and cheese comes from the way that his mom used to make mac and cheese. So there's a connection between something and why, and then even maybe a connection between that and, you know, breaking it down and seeing things in detail with a reason.
Okay. You, Akila, you put a question. What's your question, sister? I agree with what those things that you've said, the breaking down the parts and the reasons why. I want you to remember this technique sometimes of okay, so Akila had put a question there and nothing came up for it. All right, so I'm going to read from the book here. And again, composition models and exercises on description. You might take any notes, just type keywords if you want to. Okay. Description is writing that presents the various attributes of persons, objects, and places. Again, description is writing that presents the various attributes of persons, objects, and places. Some description, such as a police wanted notice or a naturalist detailed description of a bird, is intended primarily to convey information. Other description is intended not so much to convey information as to suggest to the imagination the impression that something makes on the senses. Okay. All right. All right. Are you getting that? Let that soak in. What do we mean by impressive? That is the that last part. Is this last type of description that you'll be concerned about? And we're gonna deal with their various lessons. We're not gonna do description. We're gonna go to analysis. But that is description intended not so much to convey information as to suggest to the imagination the impression that something makes on the senses. All right, so you got that. Make sure you get that part in there too, Ife, and those of you.
Can you say that one more time, the last part?
Yes, Ife. All right. The description is one part of description, whether it's a police wanted notice, and such a noted like that. Let's say you lost your dog, okay, or something. You would have a description of the attributes, and it can be of a person, or of objects, or of places, okay. So that I would recognize it. If Nasha was giving me a record, if she was giving me a view of Trinidad, okay, and as a place, and she may want to make some description of the various attributes of it, okay, and that may convey information to me. Then there's other kind of description that's intended to suggest to the imagination the impression that something makes on the senses, okay. All right, so you got those two. We won't go into detail about them. I'm going to switch to analysis.
Okay, can you just say that last part about the impression that it makes on the senses? Like, I get all tripped up because those are like three big heavy words.
Okay, from the book that we're reading, I'm going to read here. In the following passage, Wallace Stegner describes the prairie town of his early childhood. He has returned for a visit after an absence of many years. Notice that he is more concerned with giving his impression of the change in the appearance of the town than on telling exactly what it's, how it looks. All right, let's move to analysis right now. Ife, you get that? You get the sense of what I was... I'm not going to go detail into it, but I want you going to suggest an example. And when Niall and you copy this book, then everyone has it, and we'll send it as a PDF, and you can print it out. Okay.
I just wanted you to read the last sentence so I could get the what they were trying to say in that particular sentence. I'm pretty sure I get the concept. I was just trying to get the sentence, but it's cool. We can move on.
Okay, now let's look at analysis. Almost any subject can be analyzed. You can analyze an organization, a person, a language, a problem, a mechanism, a structure, a piece of literature. Okay, so think about that. Hold on a second. Okay, folks, I'm back, and I won't have to leave you now. Mama the Bantus had some difficulty. So let's just deal with this analysis. One, I like that we first start talking about you can analyze an organization, a person, a language, a problem, a mechanism, a structure, or a piece of literature. Okay? What's the last piece of analysis that you have read? Last piece of analysis that you've read is was it analyzing an organization, a book, or maybe something, an article that you read? What's the last that you can remember? Last piece of analysis that you read? Organization, a person, a language, a problem, a mechanism, a structure, or a piece of literature? Last piece of analysis. Last piece of analysis that you've read, maybe even a report. What's the last documentary you've seen? Okay. Okay. I guess it was a letter about me. All right. Now. Okay. Great. Another kind is have you any of you seen a documentary lately? Was it more descriptive, or was it more analysis, and was it of an organization, a problem, a language, a mechanism, a structure, a piece of literature? You know. So Niles would be an analysis of himself, an article about science versus pseudoscience. Very good. Akila and Amira, come on. Safia. Akanke. All right, continue to type it in. I'm going to go on and continue to read here. Since analysis, by its nature, breaks subjects down into parts, writers often use this breakdown when they are organizing essays, based on an analysis. Okay. So, Anasha says it's breaking things down in parts, and you're right on the money with that. And the key is you're not trying to describe it as much as you're analyzing it. And that's something that you also said when you were comparing your dads. Ife had said this. You have to start from a particular point. You have to decide that there's a particular angle. Now, you have to decide the angle in description as well. It's just a little bit different. This you have to decide, okay, issues of effective, ineffective, issues of good and bad, issues of success and not so successful. There are two things, okay? Values, judgment. See, I can describe my dad without talking about whether or not his trying to persuade people is a good thing or a bad thing, or it works or is not, or is effective or ineffective. Okay, I can just say that's what he does. Okay, I can talk about the way he walks and or what he used to walk and big long steps and but now if I'm doing analysis, I could, you know, if I'm just doing description, I can talk about those and compare those to my tiny steps where I had to make three or four to his big one and da 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 and what that meant walking with him for so long. Now, if I'm doing analysis, I might talk about why when I'm walking the streets of New York and we have to shift it in the third gear, why that comes easily for me. Okay, I'm not so much describing how I walk, although there's an element of description in it. There's also this their question of why and judgment is built in there. Okay, so you're talking about your particular point of view. Okay, there, identity, judgment, in terms of analysis, what's effective or not, what's good or not. Okay, you know. Y'all with me in terms of analysis? Okay, I'm going to read a paragraph and then stop, and I want you to tell me what are the elements of analysis. In this case, this writer is analyzing a language. He's analyzing English language. The writer is C.L. Wren, okay? The English language is spoken or read by the largest number of people in the world. For historical, political, and economic reasons. But it may also be true that it owes something of its wide appeal to qualities and characteristics inherent in itself. What are these characteristic features which outstand in making the English language what it is, which gives it its individuality and makes it of this worldwide significance? Okay, this is actually the introduction. Please don't try to look this up. This person has probably been dead for a long time. This is an old book. It's a good one, but we'll have to update some of the references. I love Balgun and I both love these old books because they actually sometimes teach it better. Some of the stereotypes and some stuff. Okay, so I just read to you the introduction. So you won't find so many elements of analysis, but it gives you an introduction, okay, to analysis, right? First, it makes a claim. The English language is spoken or read by the largest number of people in the world for historical, political, and economic reasons, but it also may be true that it owes something of its wide appeal to the qualities and characteristics inherent in itself. Okay, that's a claim, okay, that you might agree with or not. Now, he's setting up this, and that is, what are these characteristic features which outstand or stand out in making the English language what it is? What are the features that gives it its individuality, and what makes it of this worldwide significance, or why it is significant? Okay, so the writer in this essay, this analysis essay, is going to tell you what, all right? Not just what are the features that give it its individuality and make it gives it worldwide significance. All right. Now y'all might check with Mama Dependent to see if she agrees that English is the most widely spoken language in the world. That may or may not be the case, but anyway, this writer is going to be telling you what are the characteristic features that makes it stand out, okay? And give it its individuality and its worldwide significance. Well, you know, there's certainly some value in there, okay? Okay, so now we're going to go to the next section and see if we can pick out some elements. First and most importantly is its extraordinary receptive and adaptable heterogenesis. Hey, wait a minute, let me just type that for myself. Come on. And I love this word, heterogeneity, but this is a particular one that they've done a little bit differently, so I'm going to ask for help. All right, y'all help me with that.
Heterogeneousness.
There you go. Heterogeneousness. Great. All right, anybody else want to try it? That may be right, you fake. Anybody else?
Heterogeneousness. Not to put in a different word, I think.
Yeah, I did. That was an accident. Okay. I think it's pronounced, I kind of agree with Akila's pronunciation, heterogeneous.
All right, so heterogeneous is the word. So now we're going to make it a noun, heterogeneousness. Woo, okay. So we've just gone from a noun and putting the ness on it makes it an adjective. We're going to work it out. So it's extraordinary, receptive, and adaptable heterogeneousness. The varied ease and readiness with which it has taken into itself material from almost everywhere in the world and has made the new elements of the language its own. English, which when the Anglo-Saxons first conquered England in the 5th and 6th centuries, was almost a pure or unmixed language, which could make new words for new ideas from its own compounded elements and had hardly any foreign words, has become the most mixed of languages, having received throughout its history all kinds of foreign elements with ease and assimilated them all to its own character. Its copiousness of vocabulary is outstanding. Copiousness. We might as well hang with that. All right, you got it? You want to try that? Copiousness, okay? Though its copiousness of vocabulary is outstanding, it is amazing. It is its amazing variety and heterogeneousness, which is even more striking. And this general receptiveness of new elements has contributed to making it a suitable and attractive vehicle in so many parts of the world. Okay. Now, that's paragraph number two. Okay? Paragraph number two. Okay, folks. Now, notice what we're setting up. Because the way this is set up is we're going to go through how a writer is doing analysis and then analyze it, and then you're going to try it. Okay? And that's just how we're going to go with it. And if I am right, we have 3 minutes. So we're going to also take on some of this a little bit later on today. Okay. Yes, he does word, at least nest words. So notice in this, the first and most important of its extraordinary receptive, adaptable heterogeneous. Now, this is not description, although certainly there's some describing involved with it. There's a value judgment here. The question is, why is English so widely spoken and has worldwide significance? The first and most important he's saying, is its extraordinary receptive and adaptable heterogeneousness. Okay, now this comes from a particular point of view. Right, I might also, if I were coming from another point of view, says English is such a bad language because it has no real thing of it on. It's been so mixed with so many other things that it's like a it just mixed with so many other elements. I mean that it has no real character of its own. Okay, but that would be coming from a different perspective. Okay, like when you say, you know, my dad does this and blah, 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 and this is good. He's a good dad. Not a good dad. He's a good dad, but I don't like that he does that. It's coming from a particular perspective, okay? So when you're doing analysis, you're not just describing it. It's a value piece that's behind it, okay? And that's stated very clearly in the first paragraph. All right, then he says, first, most importantly is this, okay? Then he explains that because he lays that out as the first, the adaptable, receptive, that is, ability to receive, and adaptable heterogeneousness. And then he describes that. That is the varied ease and readiness with which it has taken to itself material from almost everywhere in the world. Okay? Made the new elements of language its own. Okay? Then he says, English, when it first started, was pure and unmixed. Gives you just a little history from its compounded elements. It made new words from its compounded elements, da da. And then it expanded and is taken in words from all different elements from everywhere, and it's made its own. Okay, and then through its copiousness of vocabulary, though its copiousness of vocabulary is outstanding, it is its amazing variety and heterogeneousness that is given, which is even more striking. Okay, so again, this whole paragraph is about the general receptiveness of the new elements that's contributed to making it a suitable and attractive vehicle in so many parts of the world. Okay, so again, you got a paragraph that lays out, and the rest, everything in the paragraph talks about that main element, and that is its receptiveness and adaptable heterogeneousness. Everybody got that? I'm going to have, during your test prep time, I'm going to have some other students work on tutorials, and we're going to get back and do some more work on analysis. I know, Akilah, thank you. Appreciate that. Love it that you keep me on time. All right, and so that we can really work this, and I'll also at that time have some things for you to look at, so you're reading what I'm seeing from a PDF form, okay? So enjoy your lunch, and we'll see you back here in a half hour. Where we'll continue a little bit later on, analysis versus description in your writing.
Some of us wanted to know if we could use some of the study hall to prepare some of our quizzes. Is that all right? I also appreciate everyone. I appreciate the class. Appreciate my professor. Appreciate all y'all folks in the class. Y'all are some great classmates to have. I be kind of bragging about y'all and stuff. Y'all are pretty cool. Anyway, I'll see y'all after lunch.
I appreciate you guys for participating in class, and I appreciate Bubba Cooker for teaching class, and just have a great lunch.
I appreciate everybody, and I hope you have a great lunch.